I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew Podcast, the real TikTok. What's up, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew.
Man, this is a long time coming. We got two very special guests today. Former VCU players, but more importantly, my dogs, my stick mans. Me and Drew go back with these dudes like 20 plus years now, which is crazy, I think, or at least 19 years. We've been talking about having them on the show for a minute. So, you know, without further ado, we got Mike Doze, a.k.a. Mike Lowry. We got Dominique Jones, a.k.a. D-Wade Flash, whatever you want to call him. Welcome to the show, boys.
Man, appreciate you. Thanks for having us, man. You know we family, so once we got the invite, I was ready.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Those fellas, man, a lot going on, but what's going on with y'all right now, man, just in life, man? How's things going with y'all?
Go ahead, Mike.
Man, you know, it's things are busy here, man. You know, my wife's pregnant with our second child. I'm a fireman. With work and just, you know, trying to stay busy, trying to stay safe, man. You know, it's a lot right now, but you know, everybody's blessed. You know, we're blessed to, you know, be healthy and, you know, blessed to be able to, you know, have a family all intact and healthy.
About you, D?
Yeah, man, everything's hectic, man, to be honest with you. You know, I got a newborn here that just turned 4 months. Work is picking back up, man, so I'm traveling quite a bit. And yeah, man, for me, running to dance practice for the girls and soccer practice and work, man, it's just, it's busy, man, but, you know, everything's good. Family's doing well, so.
Yeah, me and Drew talk about, I think we were literally talking about the other day how simple things were back in the day, and we didn't realize that we were just going to hoop and going to class and, you know, trying to figure out where the party was, and we thought that was a lot. But now it's like real world, real life. You're like, man, that was so easy compared to
so easy, man.
Hey, y'all remember when going to study hall was like the biggest stressor in life? Study hall, how am I gonna manage that?
She be looking at Brooks like, man, I ain't going, man. What you gonna do?
don't let you have a tutor that night. You be wrong.
Man. Now you got, man. D Jones up every 2 hours. Don't you got a room?
Yeah, man. It's responsibilities, man. You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything's changed, but you know, can't forget them college days, though.
Nah. We gonna talk about that in a minute, but Let's kind of talk about, because both of y'all had, you know, really great careers at VCU and just, but, you know, I don't think I've ever asked y'all this as long as I've known y'all, but when did it start? Like, who put the ball in your hand? Like, was it like the He Got Game story where your dad gave you the ball, or was it you were attracted to it, or you had a favorite player? Like, what made you fall in love with basketball? And then when did you realize you were hype, like you might have a chance to do something with it?
Go ahead, D.
Yeah, I would say, man, kind of all started for me just in the neighborhood, man. Like, all my friends growing up had hoops, you know, in their backyard. And in the neighborhood, we'd just go out and play, to be honest with you. I kind of just fell in love with it starting. I played rec ball, I guess, probably about fourth or fifth grade. And then, you know, going to, you know, those, you can see those up there, Iron Bridge Park, Rockwell Park, riding our bikes all the way down there just to get a run. So I would say it started back then. I didn't play I didn't play organized until middle school, really. And that's when I can say I really start, you know, loving the game, like, you know, really putting in that work and really, you know, trying to get better and better. Probably didn't realize I was truly good until probably like my ninth grade year when I got to high school. Just because the talent level, you know, you go from middle school up to high school, the talent level just that much better. And, you know, I started off playing JV. And then, you know, halfway through the season, I got moved up to varsity. I was playing really well. And they thought I could, you know, play at the, you know, at the varsity level. So, and from then on, you know, play varsity and started and everything. So that's kind of like background of how I got started and, you know, how basically, you know,
well look,
improve.
Let me tell you when I knew you was good is when I think I wasn't even – I was hanging around with Jeff one summer. You might not remember this, but Jeff was the assistant, and it was the summer going into, I think, your sophomore year. And you had just got a rookie of the year, freshman of the year, whatever. And right. So I'm sitting there because I got to catch a flight to get back to North Carolina. So I'm sitting there. Y'all playing pickup. It's you, Willie T, Antoine, everybody out there. So I'm looking – and D Jones rolling out there. And I'm looking like, yo, I said, Jeff, who is that? He said, that's D, man. He about to be a sophomore. I was like, what? I thought he was a senior or just came back from overseas or something. I was like, this dude 19, and I'm looking like I'm 17. I'm like, yo, he got a chance. I got to tell you, dude. This dude is out here rolling. But go ahead, though.
Yeah, for me, man, my I remember when I was really small, maybe 6, 7, following my dad around, him playing pickup, you know, on Saturday mornings, him and his coworkers. So that was the first time, you know, he put the ball in my hand, you know, and he asked me if I wanted to be a basketball player. He tells the story better than I do, but I told him, yeah. So, you know, he taught me everything I know. And then that carried on, you know, through middle school. I was always tall, so I was always on the team. I was like the defensive guy, I could block shots, rebound, but I didn't really have any like true talent, you know. And then, you know, we played Dominique in middle school too. I tell you, it was a blur, but I remember Dom was just all over the court. And it's funny to hear that was Dom's first year actually playing organized, and he dominated the game then, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, for me, when I was in middle school, I wasn't that talented. Guys were so much more talented than me. But in ninth grade, things just changed for me that summer, man. I put a lot of work in. My cousin came to live with me. We played basketball every day, rain, whatever. We was out there balling. And in ninth grade, you know, I played freshman. I moved up to JV. And then I eventually, you know, played a game at varsity level. And then from there on, I played varsity throughout. But yeah, so ninth grade was when I kind of realized that, you know what, I am pretty good at this game.
What are you talking about, Terry? Terry moved in with you?
Yeah, yeah, he came to live with us. Oh. You know, he was in 11th grade.
Yeah.
He was in 11th grade. So me and him, we went at it every day, and we only had two dribbles. You had two or three dribbles that you could only use to score, and I swear that changed my game completely, just doing that alone.
Yeah. T-Mo, top 5 funniest dudes I've ever met in my life, dog. I
mean, on the low, too.
On the low, just like subliminal. You got to catch him while he's saying it because he ain't going to talk about it. He's saying little slick stuff, dog. Hey, is he doing all right, though? T-Mo doing straight?
Yeah, he's doing good. You know, his daughter's is in college now. You know, and it's, I know crazy that time fly, you know, he's doing really well, you know, still married and his wife, you know, doing well. So, you know, everybody's blessed, man.
Yeah. Those.
It's crazy hearing y'all stories, man. I think we all played middle school, but we all sucked. I was trash in like 7th grade, but right around like 9th grade, man, everything's starting to kind of click a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Together, right?
I didn't know y'all played against each other in middle school.
Yeah, we did. Dom, you remember that?
How you do, man? We had a squad, man. We went.
Yeah, you Ahmad, man. Y'all.
We had a squad.
Was too.
Yeah, but you don't really know how good you are in middle school. You know, we just happen to have some fast guys, some pretty decent athletes, and most of the time, that's all you needed at that level.
Football. You had the athletes that played football and basketball. The big diesel dude.
Right.
12th grade in middle school.
And so
we transitioned to high school now, where it's like we had like a legit impact on the game, right? So when y'all were really good high school guys, when y'all played against each other, like, who won most of the games?
so So we, Don, we played against each other twice in high school because we weren't in the same conference.
Yeah, okay. we weren't in the same district. Yeah. But yeah, we played quite, was it regionals a couple, twice?
So we played one time Manchester played against Meadowbrook at Meadowbrook. Mm-hmm. We were sophomores. And for this story is different for me because we lost. We got our butts kicked. And Dom had a squad that year. You remember that year?
Oh, yeah, I remember. And yeah.
That was a turning point for me. You guys probably don't know this, but this was a turning point for me. You know, I'm a sophomore. I'm a big man. You know, I'm what, 16, 17, 16 years old at the time. And I'm playing against seniors. These dudes, like Norm Maloney, like college D1 guys. You know what I mean? Step out, shoot the jumper. Back to the basket, everything. He was giving me work. And at the end of the game, me and my dad was standing in the front yard. I'll never forget. I said, man, like, I'm done. Like, it's too much. I don't think I can play at this level. And he was like, do you want to quit? And I told him, these guys take it too seriously. That's what my words. And he sat me down. He talked to me that night. And then I went to practice, you know, the very next day. But that was a turning point for me because I could have gave up because it got hard. You know what I mean? And you guys just were rolling that year, mm-hmm. you know, but that turned the corner for me to keep putting in the work, keep working hard, keep elevating my game. And then, you know, where we ended up, you know, from there. But that was, I could have just said, I'm done, you know, and just kind of went into a shell, you know.
Yeah.
I took it as a challenge, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that was a turning point in my career was that game at Manchester at Meadowbrook game our sophomore year. Easily. Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, did y'all like? I know it's a little off topic, but did y'all play AAU against each other, or play on the same team, or did y'all even play AAU?
Yeah, I played AAU for Squires and Richmond Metro was another.
You played with the Squires.
Squires, yeah, yep. So I played for both of them. I mean, that's probably the only two teams at the time. Now, you know, things have changed, but
I didn't play Squires with you.
You didn't play Squires
for like maybe 1 year, and then I went to a different AAU team with Mark Adams' cousin. Yeah.
Mark, whoa.
Yeah.
Mark, whoa. Oh, Mark, yeah. Cool dude of the world, ain't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, so D. Jones, man, this next one's for you, right? What made you choose VCU?
You know what, man? It kind of boiled down to me being close to home, man, at the end of the day. Don't get me wrong. I love – a lot of it had to do with the coaching staff, too. At the time, Mac McCarthy recruited me. And, you know, he had his staff. He had G. White. He had all those guys that he brought in. And, you know, I felt really comfortable in the visit, all of that. You know, they was telling me all good things. And, you know, loved the team that they was, you know, that they were putting together. You know, they had a new arena. The Siegel Center was only a year old before I started. So, and, you know, it had some good facilities. So it was, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I made some other visits, but I think a lot of it had to do with being close. At the time, I was like, you know, I do want to play close to home. I like my family to see me play. And I like the direction they were kind of going towards. So
where else did you visit, D?
Yeah, so I visited Notre Dame. So Notre Dame was probably the school it came down to. Yeah, so VCU and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame was in the Big what? Or in the
Big East. They were Big East, yeah. So Matt Daugherty recruited me. He was the coach at that time. Yeah, yeah.
Made a good choice, man.
Said Matt Daugherty.
It was kind of crazy how it happened, man, because it was kind of like last minute. And, like, I was playing AAU, and we had a tournament in Maryland. And I played really well that whole tournament, man. And he came down. He drove down after the tournament to my house, sat down with my parents, and me, and was just like, "Hey, we want you. You know, we'd like you to come out there and, you know, see the campus." This when Troy Murphy. I don't know if you remember Big.
Oh Bob, yeah, lefty.
Yeah, so he was there at that time. Yeah. And I loved it, man. It was, you know, other than being way out there in Indiana and cold, it was you know, obviously a great school. I'm in the Big East, you know, hey. So.
But Notre Dame, did you go to a football game when you went up there? Did you?
Were
you
I didn't. No, team? I didn't. Okay. No.
I was going to say, you might have signed if you would have.
Yeah, that would have changed.
We might not even know D. Jones, dog.
Yeah.
Right,
You would have been in Notre Dame. So I made a visit there. I went to Pitt.
Okay.
Went to Pitt. Indeed. Went to George Mason and went to JMU. Okay. They were all my my visits right there. So, yeah.
Well, thank God you went to VCU, big dog. So, So Doze, you went to Wright State first, and you transferred. But what made you go? What makes you transfer to VCU?
For me, VCU was home, man. You know what I mean? Being in Ohio, and like Dom said, the Midwest is a whole nother animal. That cold air, man, it would make you get up and leave. And don't come back. Right. So for me, you know, I had, you know, Dom obviously was there, and, you know, Mark Adams was there, and Derek Reed, you know, we all played high school together. Yeah. So for me, you know, when I was deciding to leave, I called Mark and told him, you know, I'm thinking about transferring. And, you know, he talked to Coach Ellis, Mike Ellis, and he would say, hey, you know, get your release form and we'll talk. And that's all he had to say, you know, because if I had the opportunity to come to VCU, I was taking it. You know, right away, Coach Mac McCarthy, you know, they didn't really have, they were trying to figure the scholarship deal out. Then they had one and they already had a guy coming. And, you know, I started, you know, taking visits to other places. I took a visit to Richmond, Mason, you know, a couple other schools. And then that's when Mac McCarthy called me back and told me, hey, you know, we work things out, you know, we want you to come on. So it was at that, that's all I needed to hear. And, you know, obviously I came, I stayed at home. I didn't live on campus. So I probably was on like somewhat of a partial scholarship possibly. But they, you know, they made sure they did what they needed to do to make sure I was there.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember, Doze told me one time about Ohio. I couldn't believe it. He said, man, it gets so cold up there, dog. He said, man, sometimes you got to take a lighter and light your key before you put it in the door. That's how, because the ice be covering the door. And I'm
absolutely.
Like, I'm like, dog, no way. It don't get that cold. Doze was like, dog.
Absolutely. So,
like,
you know, I was driving the Jeep. You know, I had the Jeep there.
Drew, you
remember the Jeep? From Ohio.
Oh, I remember the Jeep. I remember the neon light. They used to be like, yeah, man, those park his car, man. He just put it in his locker.
those used to ride that Jeep like that joint was a Bentley down Broad Street.
Man,
we was all in. What'd you say, D?
I said Doze had the sound system in that joint, and there used to pile in that joint.
Doze be in that joint like this.
Yeah.
6-7 in that joint, dog.
Yes, sir. Leave that.
Yeah, dog. That was crazy. I remember that story, but I remember that year because I came the next year to Doze. And remember, we sat out because I had transferred in, and
yeah.
I know we're going to get into it a little later, but dog, I always tell Drew, I'm like, man, that year before Drew got there, the year that I redshirted and you redshirted half the year when we were on the black squad.
Oh.
That was the – Dom, this thing ain't trying to be funny. Hey, we used to wear y'all out. Now, I know y'all was playing in the games. I know that. I know. And
right. Oh,
but
yeah.
Even
no,
practice,
I know.
Yo, me and Doze would be looking at, though, I used to be chomping at the bits to play
pickup. Oh, it was so fun, man.
That
going
was the
at, going at.
Yeah. What? Know. And then it was comedy hour when we won on the court in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, that was the best basketball year of my life, dog. We had
absolutely so
fun.
That was a lot of fun, man. Yeah.
And that's what it was about. It was just fun, man. You know, we were just enjoying being there, being around each other, just hooping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, man. Everybody liked each other, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody played hard, man. Everybody was making each other better, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was epic battles. Hold on, Drew, I got you. But it was epic battles, I just want to point out between. I just remember Willie T. Like Doze would be matched up with him, like Mark Adams be matched up with you, D.
Uh-huh.
D. Reed, I don't know who he'd be matched up with. He'd just be out there doing what D. Reed did. Like I think I would, I don't know who I would be going at, but it was just, man, it was just so much like Doze, you rolling today, Cape, you rolling today, Mark, you rolling today.
Yeah,
it was just so much fun. But go ahead, Drew, what you was gonna say?
I was gonna ask, you know. Can y'all talk a little bit about y'all experience at VCU? Because, like, the one thing I remember about y'all was y'all looked like y'all had a bad day. Dom, like, nobody could stay, nobody could just do anything with Dom. Even same with Doze, but Doze always looked like, I mean, I'm killing you right now, but I'm not really even trying. So, but I like you, though, so I'm going to kind of take it easy. But it was like, yo, y'all were just, y'all were like the epitome of, y'all had another year to where the other, all of us were kind of just like going max to be like, just trying to keep up with y'all. But y'all, I could always tell, y'all had a little bit extra in the tank.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know where that came from. To me, I mean, shit, we's going just as hard as y'all were. To be honest with you, man. You know, like I said, man, just being in the right position, man. You know, I think the coaches, you know, maybe, you know, I think, and I don't want to, you know, use any coach's name, but I think, you know, certain coaches put you in the better positions to be successful. You know, whether, you know, they give you a little bit more freedom offensively to, you know, to kind of pick your spots and get going, or, you know, give you a certain point in the game where you can, you know, just break out on and do well. So, I mean, I don't think it, you know, came down to me. At times I think, you know, you can bump it up to another gear and, you know, do it throughout the game.
You definitely did, D. Jones, a couple times. I can remember very vividly at Drexel your senior year, mm-hmm. where, like, I don't even think we were supposed to win the game. And, you know, Drexel was tough. Like, to play in Drexel, like, the fans right on top of you. And they had Buddy, the guy, he was a Bashir or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the defensive guy, whatever. And, you know, Dom, he was doing his thing against you for a little bit, but then I saw you, something clicked, and I was like, yo, Dom is in another atmosphere right now. So, but nah, you had another gear when we used to do conditioning too, because I can remember like us doing like conditioning workouts.
Yeah.
His technique was like, it was like he was a robot. Like, yo, how is this dude? It's nothing I can do to get in front of this dude. I can't do another squat. Dom could always do the extra squat, could always do the extra bench. And I'm just looking like, yo, this dude, is he a machine or what?
A machine, dog. I'll be honest, man, my mindset was get through it, man. And that being, it's always been like that. I think the conditioning part, you know, that's, shit, it was tough. It was tough for me too. Maybe I do a good job of covering it up, but.
Yeah, you do.
Just get through it, man. You know, because, you know, that the worst feeling is, hey, we got to come back the next week or the next couple, you know, after the next couple of days and do it again. So,
Contos.
Hey, yeah, Contos. Like,
all right, guys, it's your last one. If everybody makes it, it's your last one. All right, hey, we're going to make this. Everybody get on the line. We make it. Conto, here go Contos. Well, guys, I lied. We got one more. I remember looking down a lot, me and Drew be looking at each other like, yo, I'm about to kill this.
God toes, boy.
Off the chain. What about you, Doze?
Man, for me, I was just glad to, for one, transferring and having that year to sit out, it allowed me to, like, refresh myself. You know what I mean? From playing, you know, high school basketball, going to summer camps, AU, you know, as a freshman, you know how tough it is as a freshman trying to just carve out your spot within the program. Having that year to sit out and just relax and just play ball, like, free, like you said, the black squad, we just played free. So that allowed me just to take that same mentality and kind of put it into the game. And, you know, when we were really in practice and really counting how we did things, you know, and it just, you know, guys like Dominique and, you know, and Willie Taylor, being around those guys, man, it makes you better. You know what I mean? And then, you know, other guys like, you know, Jamal Shuler, you know, Jesse Pellerosa, those guys, you know, you also want to kind of show how you, because they're coming up after you, you know what I mean? So you want to show them how guys like Willie showed me how to do things, you know what I'm saying? You know, and then just having the confidence, we had some talent on that team, man. So you were going to get better, regardless if you wanted to or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember us playing like King of the Hill a lot of times.
Yeah.
To me, that, I always tell young guys, I'm like, yo, if you want to slump or if you need to get your rhythm, always play one-on-one. Two, like you were talking about earlier, 2-3 dribbles, one-on-one, and get your swag, because that's really what basketball is. Like, I mean, we all been there when we lose our confidence a little bit and go through a spell, but I just remember us having battles in practice where, you know, we used to be down there with Coach White doing the zigzag drill. Drew's favorite
drill. Drew used to drill.
We used to hate that. And then we do that. And then, like, we would roll the balls out. And you know, you'd be at the bottom. You roll it up top. You got to close out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those were just I remember the games. I know y'all remember the games a lot more than I do. I just remember the practices, how we used to just, like, battle it out. And then afterwards, we were, like, so cool. I mean, there was times I hated Drew because he was killing me. And I'm like, man, I'm about to fight this dude. A dope.
Yeah, right.
And then afterwards, we'll go to the comments and just be like, yo, yeah, yo, yeah, hey, yo, right. You know what I mean? So those are like always the best memory. Me and Drew talk about them all the time. I mean, it was it was classic. I think that's you too, Drew.
Yeah, so y'all both, you know, y'all hooped overseas. Kind of, what was that experience like?
I mean, for me, it took some adjusting in the beginning. You know, my path was a little different. I originally went to Holland, to the Netherlands first, stayed there a week, and realized that this ain't gonna work out. And then I went to Ireland and had a phenomenal year and just, you know, and had a blast like it was, you know, Julian, when we transferred in, you know, just playing ball, enjoying the people, the fans, you know, everybody, it was all love there. And then taking that to Switzerland and then France, where in France, I was the only American on the team, you know, and the coach didn't even speak English. And only a couple players did. So that took some adjusting to get to going to a foreign country and not really speaking the language. And, you know, television not being in English and, you know, not being to speak the language period, you kind of have to adjust yourself and kind of immerse yourself in the culture. And that's one thing a lot of guys, American guys, don't do. America as a whole, we think everybody should adapt to us and we don't adapt to their environment. So, you know, I learned quickly that it's either sink or swim at that point. Either you're going to learn to speak the language, learn how to order food, learn how to communicate with your teammates, or you're going to end up going home. You know, I definitely wasn't going to do that, so.
Yeah. I remember talking to you a few times. Yeah, I was over there, and we would talk, like, once every week or two, and you'd be telling me, like, yo, this joint crazy over here. Like, it's just different. That's all you kept saying was it's different. And I think you too, D, you would call me and be like, you can't really explain it unless you over there. It's just a different vibe, different energy.
For me, man, it was it's probably a little easier to adapt for me than those, probably just because Germany's a lot more Americanized than a lot of other countries out there. Like, I start off with two Americans on the team, me and another guy, DA, for a few years. But then after that, man, it was probably like six or seven of us on the team, American. So it was a little bit more easy to adapt. But like he was saying, like those were saying, man, you really do have to just kind of be all in. You know what I mean? Even as hard as it is, you can't always just be thinking about home, you know, because at the end of the day, it's really not going anywhere, you know? Like, you know, your friends and your family, as long as you're able to keep in contact with them, you know, however, on the phone, Skype or whatever. And you realize you do need that break when you do get home, and, you know, those 2 or 3 days a week or you know, however you may get throughout the year. But then after that, you realize, you know, things are the same here, man. Go back to doing what you enjoy doing, because, you know, you ain't going to be playing ball forever, so you might as well just take advantage of it while you can. So I enjoyed it, man. It was one of those things where, you know, I couldn't see myself living over there. Like, you know, I had few teammates that just up and moved their families and everything like that over there. I couldn't see myself doing that, but Germany was a cool experience, though.
Hey, I enjoyed it every time y'all came home for the summer, dog, because we had a blast. And the times y'all came up and visited me when I lived in Northern Virginia. We had a blast. Them memories that I keep in my back pocket, dog.
Absolutely. I will tell you this, man. I think for me and Don being over there, being able to call you guys and just talk. I know me and Don, we probably talk like twice a week easily, if not more. You know, just talking to each other, leaning on each other, and then being able to call you, Cape, and just keep up, you know, with everybody at home. It definitely helps you get through. And also kept our friendship as tight as it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's you know, it's a tough man. It's a tough little stretch, man. That year, you know, sometimes the years go by real slow, man. To be honest with you, you know, I know for us, shoot, we was practicing twice a day all, you know, for most of the season.
Even during the season, D.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, some of my coaches, man, and then wonder why you burnt out by the end of the year. Just, I mean, you're going hard, and then you play on the weekend, and it's just like, man, you just couldn't wait to get to the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, it's not for everybody. I will say that. And, you know, guys can probably – tell you, you know, they get over there and they're just like, hey, man, I can't do this, you know. So it's definitely a culture shock for a lot of people. So
I appreciate y'all being so honest and transparent, because me and Drew laugh about this all the time. Everybody, and y'all know this, man, think they can play overseas. Like, that's like, you know, and you know, you go pick up in the gym and guys be like, yeah, I'm about to go to such and such. And they think it's sweet. They think everything is sweet. And they want to post it for the gram. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
right.
I know some dudes that played over there that said it ain't – I mean, you pooping, and that's cool, but it's a whole different life. But I think now it's a lot easier with social media. You're talking about keeping in touch with people. You know, you got FaceTime. Oh, yeah. You know, it's a lot different. Yeah, so yeah. It's probably a lot, I think, psychologically a lot easier to cope and to deal.
Right.
So for, and this is either one of y'all can take this or both of y'all, but was it hard or easier for y'all to transition to life after basketball? Obviously y'all played pro, and so y'all had a little bit different lifespan with playing ball, but even after y'all finished playing pro, how was it transitioning to like the real world? You know what I mean?
Go ahead, D.
Okay. Yeah, man, I would say that the transition wasn't that easy. Like, I knew, basically, it was one of two things for me. Like, I knew I either wanted to be around basketball in some capacity. I knew I didn't want to coach, but, you know, I definitely knew I wanted to either be around the game or get into the sales industry. So, when I got back, you know, I just kind of was networking with, you know, local universities and VCU, and just kind of getting resume and just contacting people that could, you know, give me some opportunities, you know, out there. And it was really nothing, you know, that came about, which, you know, and I think the biggest thing what guys don't realize is, you know, when you play ball your entire career and you don't have a lot of experience in anything else, you're going to have to start from the bottom. And some guys are not willing to do that, you know, especially after they've obviously done really well and, you know, made, you know, a certain amount of money playing professional sports. You know, the business world or the corporate world don't care about that. So majority of the time, you're going to have to start from the bottom up, you know, whether taking a lower paying job than what you used to, and kind of get that experience that way. So, so I started, you know, I got into the sales industry, and I knew once I did that, I knew I wanted to get in the medical field. So, so basically, you know, I worked towards doing that, you know. I still love going to the games and being around ball, but I do enjoy my career, you know, what I'm doing now. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead, Drew.
As far as when you getting done, you know, it's like that you start your freshman year over again.
And one thing I'll tell you, man, it's especially after you, you know, even if you don't play professionally anywhere, man, I'm sure y'all can probably attest to this, that, you know, it's good to keep in contact with people, man, and network with people, especially as black athletes, man. You know, we always want to, you know, have that next opportunity after college. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of those opportunities are going to, you know, other people, you know, specifically, you know, white athletes or people that, you know, not of color. So So it's just important, man, that you never forget, you know, the people that helped you along the way, the people that you grew relationships with in school. Man, if something ever comes up, man, you want to be one of the first people they think about. So,
as Drew Johnson always says, it pays not to be a jerk.
Yeah. Right. Right about that, man. No, try not to burn no bridges, man.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I kind of always knew I wanted to do some sort of like civil service type of job. I always wanted to do FBI. And when I was thinking about transitioning from basketball to having a career, because like Dom said, you know, I wanted to get out early enough where I still had time. I could start my family young enough that I can enjoy the time with my wife, enjoy the time with my kids when they get older, and then just be able to do a career. You know, and not be 65, 70 years old and trying to put in 25, 30 years at that time, you know. So, you know, me being a fireman is the direction I took. And it's been an awesome career. You know, it's allowed me to still be a part of a team, which was the biggest thing for me. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, I've been a part of a team my whole life. And, you know, being a fireman, we all work together to accomplish a common goal. And that's why I chose that career. Being a real estate agent as well allows me to have like that competitive edge, like Dom said, in the sales field, you know, being able to sell real estate and help other people, you know, put a smile on somebody else's face is like us scoring a basket, you know, and seeing the fans erupt, you know, when you close on a house or whatnot. So, you know, for me, it was the biggest thing was just wanting to start a family early enough and still be able to give back to the community as we've always done being performers on the court, and that's the reason why I chose the career that I chose.
It's so cool that you you said that. First of all, so cool that none of us are in coaching. To me, that's so cool because, you know, I think that's the narrative, though, is a lot of athletes think they got to get into coaching, you know, when they finish.
Yeah.
And then here's four people right now that never coach. You know, if we coached, it was like at the camps, at the VCU camps.
Right. Whatever. Yeah.
But I think for me and Drew in our field, that competitive edge is like when we presented in Texas, it was like, I mean, we barely slept the night before like a game. Like me and Drew was like up late at night. I mean, we knew we were gonna do our thing, but it was like imagine like right before we about to play ODU. That feeling on ESPN.
That feeling.
Yeah.
Like, we woke up early, we went down and had breakfast. We like, you ready? You ready? You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
So we get in front of the people and we do our thing, and it's literally, I don't think anything will ever replace hoops. I don't think anything will replace that feeling, but it's dope to be in a profession, like y'all are both saying, that you get like that excitement, like presenting or like crushing a strategic plan, or, you know, doing something where I'm like servicing students and they benefiting from it. Like, that's like me doing a windmill top 10 play. Like, I get that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I think that's why people struggle transitioning, though, is because they can't find like that other thing. They're searching for that, like the same thing they get when
the same gratification.
You know? Gratification. Yeah. And to be honest with you, ain't nothing like hooping and getting that. Ain't right. I mean, them days is over, but you can find something.
Yep.
Like, yo, I feel valued. I feel like this is fulfilling to me. And and then to get paid for it, I mean, ultimately, that's what I call success. I ain't talking, you ain't, like Drew be like, yo, I can't buy a yacht, but I don't want a yacht. So like, I'm happy, you know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, it's just cool to hear that. And I hope some younger listeners just take heed to that, because we don't always have to get back into athletics, man. I mean, it's cool if that's your jam, but you ain't got to do that. But yeah, Dom, so I want to say it's been like 3 or 4 years, what, 2017, you got in the Hall of Fame, 2018?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
So that was big, man. Me and Doze was there. It was huge. You know, like, I mean, I don't know. You're the only person I know personally know that's in the VCU Hall of Fame. How was that? What did that mean for you?
Man, it meant everything, to be honest with you, man. It kind of came as a surprise, to be honest with you. You know, because, you know, after years and years go by, you never know. You never know. You know, I didn't have a great relationship with with the athletic director there now. So, you know, so I didn't. And once I got his email, just kind of out of the blue, it was just a surprise, and he was just wanted to congratulate me, and you know, it just it was always one of those things that you know, you never think about, like, oh, I'm gonna be a Hall of Fame when you're playing. You know, you don't think that far ahead.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going out there trying to improve and, you know, trying to make it to the next level if you get the opportunity to do so. So, it was a blessing, man. The whole night. So,
yeah. And I hope, I mean, it was a special night. Your wife, your kids was there. The whole community was there. But like I was joking with Doze that night, I said, hey, Dom got in the Hall of Fame. Me and you both got in the Hall of Fame too, because he was in both our cars, going to Wendy's, going to the barber shop, going to the ball, going to DPLR, all that.
Everywhere.
It was definitely deserved, D, man. We've been playing against each other, and I've been around you since, you know, middle school, man, and, you know, the hard work, you know, playing in Brockwood and Iron Bridge, you know, you definitely earned that, man. I know me and Kate were just, Andrew, you know, just all glad to just be around somebody that's as humble, right, but as nice on the basketball court as you, man. And you've always been that way from the jump. So it's a testament to you, bro.
I appreciate it, bro.
Because he was so nice about it.
I know. I don't think Drew always be like, yo, I don't think I've ever seen somebody as killer as somebody on the basketball court, but the nicest dude. He's dumb. Drew would be like, yo, he has every right to be a jerk, man, but he's nice. Like, what if Dom wanted to be like, yo, man, y'all can't hang out with me, though. Like, Kate, man, you don't even, nah, man.
Oh, man.
Nah, you can't borrow my Nietzsche shirt, yo.
When I get to the party, and no, y'all can't.
because truth be told, it's a lot of dudes that are nice, but they terrible people. And like, they just think, like, I mean, y'all can think about people that we played with that weren't even, I mean, they were garbage, or they thought they was way better than they was, but they acted like they was out there doing me and Kobe or something. And
they carried
themselves like, I'm looking like, dude, I don't know, you know, but you know, it's just rare that you got somebody, both of y'all though, same thing for you. Like, y'all were so humble. And I think that's why, like, we still tight to this day, because, I mean, if you look at our mix, like, I wasn't the guy. Y'all were the guys. Like, if you think about it, most of the time the guys hang around the guys, and then the people that aren't the guys are over there somewhere. but we were tight, though, and still tight. Yeah. And that's just because, y'all, I mean, I think it got a lot to do with the way y'all was raised, obviously, but, yeah. I mean, still.
Yeah, man. Personality, man. I think it's just right there, and like all across the court, man. Because I talked to some of, you know, former teammates and stuff like that, and you know, guys that were really talented and played well in college. But you know, as far as me continuing to have that tight bond, it's just, you know, we're just too different, you know. And especially as you get older, you know, you see that guys really don't get it. So.
True fact.
Yeah.
I think it really wasn't any competition between us. I think we all wanted each other to be successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, me and Kate, like, we guarded each other all the time.
Yeah.
But we were best of friends. We were roommates on the road. Like, right. I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for you being who you were. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. So you helped mold me to be the player I was, as well as I helped mold you be the player and the person you are today. You know what I mean? And that, like, I wouldn't dare say I was successful on my own, because it took all of us being together. Even, you know, Drew coming in with his jump shot, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, on the visit, man, and just being part of the crew, man, that helped elevate me, you know, because I, like, Drew come in, I got to show him how it's done, you know what I mean? But not to try to bury him, but to show him so he can be successful. So when I'm gone, he's showing the next man how it's supposed to be. And that's why BCU has the legacy that it has today, is because, you know, starting with Willie Taylor, because Willie brought me up.
Yeah.
As much as we competed each other on the court, he wanted me to be successful too. You know what I mean? When I played good at ODU, my breakout game, he was just as happy as a Knicks man. You know what I mean? As I was, basically. And I fed off of that, and I knew he generally wanted me to be successful. And that's probably why VCU made it from the Final Four, starting from when Mac McCarthy was the coach and Dom getting recruited and coming in to now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of games, as we sit here speak, they playing that game you had, those against Wilmington, UNC Wilmington. That joint I sent you on Insta today, they showing that on Facebook. I guess VCU got a Facebook joint. They showing that game.
I got it. I've only seen highlights from that, man.
I had the best seat in the house, dog.
I was gone, man. I remember seeing them highlights at the end, and I was just like, "Those is just in the zone right now."
And I think some of them joints too. I mean, one shot I remember those shot. I'm like, I think we got a steal or something. You remember those? We got a steal. And
yeah.
The ball just came to you, and you just let the joint go. I'm like, yo, there's no way. Because I think we were down 10, right? Or 12 or something.
Like a minute, by 11, with like a minute and some change to go.
Yeah, it was like the Duke-Maryland joint. It was like
– Absolutely.
Came back against Maryland. And UNCW was rolling, too. They had old boy. You played against him overseas, Dom, I think.
Goldberg.
Oh, Goldberg. Oh yeah.
He was tough.
He was
about it all.
Yes, he would.
But yeah, Drew, you up to bat.
So, you know, not to get a sad moment, but what were some emotions kind of went through your mind when you saw like the videos about Jordan, Wade, Breonna Taylor, Maude Aubrey, Jacob Blake? Like what did that do to y'all's spirit, you know, during those times?
Yeah, I'll start first, man. It was just like it was sad, man. I obviously felt bad for their families. It's one of those things that's unfortunate, man, for minorities, man, to be honest with you. I mean, this happened. I was talking to Kate, man. I said, this isn't the first time, or it just hadn't just started, you know, happening here recently. This has been going on for a while. Just it's just being heavily documented right now with all the social media and all the eyes on it. So I think, you know, I think the media are just kind of running with it. But it's unfortunate, man. And even to hear, you know, that the cops, the police just actually got off the cops for the Breonna Taylor case. They actually didn't even get charged for that murder. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's just frustrating, man. I mean, all you can really do is try and obviously educate your family, educate your son, educate your daughters, just kind of prepare them for any bad situation or situation at all that they may be in with any police, and how to respond and how to act in those situations. So nothing like that, you know, would happen to them. So,
yeah,
it's just an unfortunate situation, man.
So,
yeah, man. For me, it's definitely unfortunate. Like Dom said, you know, just, you know, seeing how long this has been going on. You know, you can go all the way back, you know, to Rodney King, you know, kind of being like the first one to kind of put things on the map. Obviously, we know things historically had right. been like that for years, but this is the first time it kind of was on videotape, was that one. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, to the, you know, 2000s, 2010-ish, when you had, you know, the guys in down south, you know, running from the police, getting shot in the back, and the kid just happened to be walking by, you know, and videotaping it. You know, it kind of shed more light on what's going on. But with George Floyd, you know, that's any black man, you know what I mean? That could have been us, you know, and, you know, I think we've all in our, you know, early 20s put ourselves in situations that easily could have been us, you know what I mean? And that's the scary part, you know, especially for the youth. And me being a fireman, I work closely with, you know, the police now, you know what I mean? And I tell people all the time, you know, I put my shoes on every day just like you do. The police officers put their shoes on every day like you do too. You know what I mean? There's nothing different between them than you, except for they have a badge and they have a gun and some of them have an ego. You know what I mean? And as Dom said, you know, as you see how humble guys are when they're talented, when they have that power. With great power comes great responsibility, you know, and that police officer and a lot of police officers have abused that power, you know, and that's why where we are today. But I think educating young Black men on how to respond when they're in those situations is crucial moving forward. You know, you can't be disrespectful, even if you're in the wrong, even if you're in the right, you have to meet, you can't fight fire with fire. You have to, you know, fight it with water. You have to be calm. You have to be, you know, follow commands, you know, yes, sir, no, sir. That way, there's no reason. Unfortunately, as a Black man, you have to work twice as hard to accomplish the same goal as other people in America. You know what I mean? And I think we all know that. That's the recipe to success. You have to work twice as hard. And in order for us to do that, we need to teach that to the younger guys, to the next generation, and let them know, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, be respectful. Even though you're right, we know that. But don't do anything to put yourself in the situation is the biggest thing. And if you are in that situation, do everything you can to get out of that situation, you know, because it can turn deadly for any of us, you know.
Yeah. And you bring up such a good point, Doze. I mean, you think about the times we had in college and you think about the times we were all in rare form. Mm-hmm. You know, we were leaving a spot, leaving downtown Richmond, and we could have easily been in a situation where some cops rolled up on us, and they probably would have recognized y'all too, because y'all, you know, whatever, and we would have been Gucci. But
let me tell you, man, I was pulled over when I was at VCU, and I was profiled, you know what I mean? And he pulled me over, and he searched my car, and he was looking for marijuana. He was looking for some reason to lock me up that night, and I told him who I was. I played for VCU, I'm a basketball player. I'm not doing anything. You know, where's the narcotics at?
Yeah,
I don't have narcotics. You know, I'm a basketball player, man. You know what I mean? And if it wasn't for the fact that I tried to carry myself, I flirted with the line then. Trust me, I think back now. I flirted with the line. I wasn't disrespectful because the way my parents raised me, my dad always told me, you stay out of the justice system. You know what I mean? Stay out of that. And so it allowed me not to be disrespectful, you know. But if nobody had somebody telling them that voice in the back of their mind,
right,
I could have said something and it could have escalated.
Yeah.
For no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's important to add to that too, you know, and Doze, you know this, so I'm not saying that you don't, but sometimes even yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and doing all the right things, you know, we still getting shot at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think me and Drew always talk about, we like our chances if we are doing what you're saying, being respectful, doing what you're supposed to do, even though you didn't do anything wrong. But the real facts are, is like you said, you got guys that have these egos. Maybe they are racist. Maybe however they were raised is in contradiction to how you were raised, and all they see is the color of your skin, and things happen. And it's so important for us to educate ourselves and to educate our children. But I also say it's important for other people that don't look like us to educate themselves. It's not our responsibility to educate them on how we've been oppressed. There's too much knowledge out here. There's too much, you know, you can Google it. You can go to the library, whatever you want to do and figure it out. And so, you know, this is not necessarily a Black versus white thing. This is a hate thing. This is a right versus wrong. And so I know that you know that, but I just wanted to put that on wax that, you know, I don't want people to listen to this and say, you know, even though I'm doing the right thing, things are happening out here, because it can't just meet the
right. And I totally agree, Cape. I totally agree. You know, there's some situations that just walk up on you and that you can't do anything, you know. But that being said, if try your best
right
to minimize it first.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens moving forward, it happens. You know what I mean? But, it, you know, do everything you can to be able to get home to your family. And that's all I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Good point, man, because Cape and I both been on, like, discipline committees, and we hear students, like, those talking about, you know, my parents raised me, this, da-da-da-da. I hear students talk, and I'm like, even if you were dead right, you can't talk to anybody that way. Like, there's no type of positive outcome the way you're talking like that. So it's one of those things where it's, like, trying to explain to people, like, it was like killing with kindness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. That was interesting you say that.
at the end of the day, we all just trying to get to the crib. I have no ego when I'm just trying to get home to my wife and I'm trying to get home to my son. I mean, we all husbands and fathers. And y'all know how it feels to be in this position. We all just trying to get to the crib, dog.
That's right.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, man. So, you know, knowing what you know now, you know, we in our 30s and we kind of have lived life and hooped and, you know, done some things that we wish we could have done differently and, you know, keep some things the same. But what advice would you give to an up and coming student athlete?
What I would say to him is definitely pay attention and slow down. Do not try to rush through, because when it's over, it's over. You know what I mean? We talk about these great moments that we've had, and we probably would do anything to get back there. You know, and we wouldn't want the day to stop. So, you know, enjoy the moment, you know, go to class, pay attention, you know, and learn, because eventually everything that you are taught in school will come up. And I am a testament to that, because, you know, growing up, it was basketball. You know, I'm in algebra class, you know, and I'm like, you know, I don't need algebra, I don't need geometry, but here I am as a fireman, you know, 20 years later, and I'm having to do hydraulic calculations on, you know, how much gallons per minute are coming out of a 15, 16 nozzle tip. You know what I mean? If you would have said Mike Dose and Tim Gray how to do it, I don't need that. But now I need it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely pay attention, and everything that they teach you will, you can use as a tool for your tool bag later in life.
Yeah, I agree, man. I would say for me, you know, one of the things I would just say is just take it all in, man. Obviously, enjoy your college life, because it flies by. You know, if you're an athlete, you know, take it seriously. Also, have a good time. Enjoy your teammates, man. And, you know, because it's one of those things, man, you don't want to regret, you know, your time that you spend at a university. And you obviously don't want to regret any people that helped you along the way. And just, you know, just have a good time, man. I think a lot of people, you know, either are not focused, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's in athletics or whether it's in school, and just trying to have, I mean, I know it's kind of tough when you're in school and you don't have, you know, you may not know exactly what you want to do when you graduate, but do know that if you're playing a sport, you're playing basketball, that ball will stop bouncing at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to realize that to get that degree, it's only going to help you later down the road. It's only going to help you to get that job. It's only going to help you make the type of money you want, you know, to help your family. So, those are a couple of things I would say.
Yeah, we think back on how many teammates we had that, you know, didn't graduate, right? And you're like, man, and they were super talented hooping too. But you also knew some of them, you was like, if they ain't hooping, I don't know what they're doing. You know what right. I mean? You almost right. worried right. about them. Like, even now, I'm like, I'm not going to say their names, but I'm like, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they up to now. And it's not always positive thoughts, because I remember them as a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, and the things that they were into.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I think a lot of times, man, you know, especially as athletes, man, you think things are going to be handed to you, even, you know, and they are, and you get away with all that stuff when you're playing. They'll do anything for you. College, you know, your university athletic program, especially if you're winning, you know, things are taken care of. But when it's graduation and once that season is over with, things are not always the same like that. And you're on your own, and you're starting from scratch, and you're trying to figure out your next move. So, like I was saying earlier, just make sure you keep in contact with people that you feel like that can help you, you know, transition into the corporate or business world, and you know, you'll be all right.
Yeah, and I mean, they take care of you so much. I mean, I always joke, like, man, when I graduated and the first time I went out somewhere and ordered a drink, I couldn't believe how much it cost because we ain't pay. I ain't never pay. I was with Doge. I ain't pay. What you mean? Yeah, how much? What you mean? That's $12? What? I've been drinking for free for 4 years.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, shout out to our sponsor, Tiki Bar Cantina.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day, Cafe.
Tobacco Company Dollar Drinks.
Hey, Beto's. Good thing. hey, real quick though, it's the finals about to start. Who y'all got?
Braun and six.
Absolutely.
You say Braun and six? You say we don't even say Lakers, we just say Braun.
Yeah, Braun. Hey, it's phenomenal to see how many times he's been to the finals. And the only reason why he wasn't there last year, it's ridiculous, man. We watched him. You know, LeBron was in the NBA when we were in college, by the way.
And better than us when he was 16. No, I remember that, Dom, Doze, I think you was in the room. That one game, St. Vincent's played somebody on ESPN.
Yeah.
And he got the steal and he did the dunk like this and cranked that back. And I remember, like, I think I was laying in bed, and I was like, yo, wait a minute, what? And so to your point, to see that from 2003 to 2020, I mean, 2003 is Drew's class, so he's real familiar. But, oh, this dude is on a whole nother planet,
He's still good.
Man, he's 35 playing like
he's not only good, he's the best in the league still.
Yes.
At 35.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, man. He definitely should have got the MVP, man, this year.
I'm with Jalen Rose when he said, though. Jalen Rose said, man, we got to do better with when we give the award. Like, we need to give it out as soon as the season over. Because if you give it out now or 2 weeks ago when, I mean, Milwaukee didn't even make the conference finals.
No, right.
Kind of thinking about all of, you know, what Greek Freak didn't do instead of what he did.
What he did do. No, don't get me wrong. He had, I mean.
Oh, he balled out.
Well-deserved, man. But, you know, I just think you take LeBron off the Lakers compared to.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to Giannis off the.
What'd you say, Drew?
I was like, but y'all gonna really appreciate Bron when he's gone, man.
I'm telling you.
And that's it. I mean, we're spoiled, man. We're spoiled since 2003. We just seen greatness every single night out of him. And we expect that from him now. And when, like, Giannis or somebody else comes in and they have these 30 and 10 nights, we're like, oh, look how great he is. But LeBron's been doing that for so long. You know what I mean? That we're spoiled.
Those, I remember you coming back home from playing overseas. I think it was 2006 or 2007. And
when the Celtics were going to making their run?
No, it was when Cleveland was playing Detroit. And it was that epic game in Detroit. And we was at Stool Pigeons.
Yeah.
I remember, dog, because it was me, you, Brad, Josh here. We you know, doing what we do. And I mean, dog, LeBron, I think that's the game he scored 21 straight in the fourth. Mm-hmm. And he was like 23, 24. And I was like, I think I was texting Drew, like, yo, are you watching this kid?
That might have been the greatest game I ever seen. Like, I mean, he had many, but that was just like, yo, y'all, please respect him now. Please.
Yes.
That was ridiculous, man. That was, that was out of this world. I mean, like you said, Drew, he had a lot of those games, but I think. At that point of the year, doing that at such a young age, I mean, special, man.
Yeah. I think now that we're in our 30s and we look back at some of his great games, and we'd be like, yo, he was 25? Like, guys would be like, man. Having the world in my hand like that.
I definitely see I can't see the Lakers losing, man. As much as I like the Heat and how they're playing, I mean, those young guys, man, Spoelstra got those guys playing, man. He has them playing hard, and any guy on that team could step up and win the game for you. But I just don't think they have enough, man.
They don't have enough, and I think LeBron understands, and this is just what it is to me. LeBron understands that he got to get this one, like, because – next year, ain't no telling what Brooklyn gonna look like with the monsters they got. Golden State might mess around and get Greek Freak. Who knows?
Oh.
Denver ain't gonna do nothing but get better. I think he understands that. Let me get this fourth one. And to me, he don't have to win another chip. Like, he's on Mount Rushmore. It's stamped, whatever. I think he understands. Let me get this one, because who knows if I'm going to stay injury-free. Who knows what Anthony Davis is going to do. We know sometimes he doesn't always stay healthy. I think he's going to put on a show, and it's going to get to a point. Like, I always tell people, I'm like, yo, if we in the gym, we playing pickup, like, I could have, like, my squad. But if D. Jones is in there and he got four average players playing with him, D. Jones' team is probably going to win because he's the best player in the gym. I mean, it's that simple if you chop it up. And at the end of the day, like I say, LeBron is 35, and I think he's going to seize the moment because he understands, like, but look, boys, hey, I love y'all, man. I appreciate y'all doing this. This is a long time coming. We in season two. It shouldn't have took this long, but – you know, life, babies, work, you know how it go. Hey, before we go, though, man, I got to say this, too, because, I get DMs from my teammates, from my teammates. Tell my man, when you going, man? You know, and now they going to hear this. And I'm like, first of all, these my dog, like, come on, man, these dogs. But I do want to shout out, like, Sam Falk, B.A., Jamal Shuler, Willie T., Mark Bowe, Mark Adams, Jesse Pellerosa, Kootenai. Anybody else we need to shout out, man? I do want to shout out Sophia Wright too, who all helped us graduate.
Oh yeah, she got to keep everybody on track.
What? Big Kev Moore. Smooth. Yeah, Troy Godwin, Nick George. Who else?
Oh yeah,
hey, TJ Gwynn.
Don't forget Jonas.
Yes, sir. YB.
Oh, we ran into YB in Vegas, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but hey, if we forgot your names, we ain't forget you, man. It's just a lot of y'all. We love y'all too. And boys, we appreciate it, man. And
Yes, sir.
I'm sure we'll be talking soon with these finals going on.
Yeah, man. It's a pleasure, man. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, man, appreciate you.
Y'all take care.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. Later.